Welcome to Women Got Game, where we uncover untold stories of extraordinary women in sports across Northwest Ohio and beyond. I'm Sophia Fisher, and we're going to celebrate the evolution of female athletes, coaches, and sports enthusiasts. Let's dive into a world often overlooked in the broader sports narrative. Ready to explore? Let's play. In today's episode, we explore the exciting world of women's collegiate Division I soccer. From the intense rivalries and unforgettable moments on the field to the stories of perseverance and passion behind the scenes, we're here to explore what makes this sport so dynamic and inspiring. We'll be talking to some incredible guests who live and breathe soccer, sharing insights on what it takes to compete at the highest level in NC2A college athletics. Whether you're a diehard soccer fan, an aspiring athlete, or just someone who loves a good story of determination and teamwork, you're in the right place. So let's lace up your cleats, get ready for kickoff, and join us as we explore the beautiful game through the lens of women's collegiate soccer. I'd like to welcome our guest today, head coach Mark Batman from University of Toledo women's soccer team. And I also have with us two athletes, Kema Amakri and Olivia Dalt. Welcome.
Yep, thank you. Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
All right, so let's jump into it. We're going to talk about women's soccer. So I'm going to have a couple questions for Coach Batman just to start us off about what inspired you to pursue a career in coaching women's soccer, and how'd you end up at University of Toledo?
Yeah, it's kind of a lengthy story. I was talking to these two before we got here, and I don't think they even know the story of kind of how I got into coaching or how I ended up at Toledo other than, you know, applying and showing up. So, yeah, so I played Division III college soccer my junior year. Rather than get a real job, I got an opportunity to coach youth soccer. And Division III calendar is quite a bit different than Division I. There's a little bit more flexibility in the winter and spring, and you have a lot more downtime. So it was a good opportunity for me to, you know, make some easy money and just coach youth soccer. And I had a U16 boys team that was pretty competitive. And I kept coaching that for the next 2 years. And as they got older, I kind of got older and kind of realized, okay, I kind of enjoy this. From there, after I graduated, I went to a small Division III school in Dubuque, Iowa. And we were responsible for starting up a men's and women's soccer program. And we had about 6 months to do it. The head coach got hired in January. I got hired in February. So I was a graduate assistant, primarily on the men's soccer side. I had only coached, you know, men and boys at that point. And the first few years were a little chaotic of starting things from scratch. I remember going around the dorms and trying to recruit more players for the women's team because we only had 18 to start the season. And I've got some really interesting stories from that first season. One girl went in the middle of basically second half and went to the concession stand and came back with a hot dog and a soft pretzel. So
I guess she needed some carbs.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I mean, so I tell these guys, hey, things could always be worse, guys. Things could always be worse. You know, and we ended up doing pretty well first couple years. I was there for about 2.5 seasons, got my master's. From there, the gentleman that offered me the youth soccer position in college was the actual head coach at Savannah College of Art and Design in Georgia. So he offered me a full-time coaching position. Went down there, moved down there in August. So I was the assistant on the men's side. And I was like, okay, this is great. Like, career is kind of moving forward. You know, let's see where this goes. I was 22, 23. Savannah, Georgia, not a bad place to live. You know, the weather's really nice.
It's beautiful there. Beautiful, yes.
The head coach got let go December 1. And I was on a recruiting trip in Chicago. And he called me and said, hey, your meeting's tomorrow. I said, okay. So flew back. They kind of just decided to reshuffle the staff and kind of go a different direction. And so then I moved back to Ohio, back to my parents. So I've been on my own for three and a half years at this point, and go back to Ohio. And at that point, I just started applying for jobs, left and right, just started applying for jobs, either assistant coaching position jobs or head coaching position jobs, all of that. During that time, the head coach from the University of Dubuque in Iowa, where I got my master's, called and offered me a full-time position. They basically created a full-time position for me. And I accepted. Moved back out there February 1st. And at that time, I started to get phone calls of all these jobs that I applied for. I didn't remember even applying at Ohio Northern. I was just applying for jobs left and right.
Sure.
mainly on the men's side of things. And obviously, Ohio Northern was looking for a women's coach. So I phone interviewed. These guys don't know what that is. They do virtual interviews and stuff now.
It's a phone
yeah,
on the wall.
Yeah, it was a dial.
Dial up.
Yeah, dial up. So I phone interviewed, went out, interviewed in person, and then accepted the position and moved back out to Ohio. I was there by April 1st. And so, like, just to snapshot this, in August, I moved from Iowa to Savannah, Georgia. In December, I moved from Savannah, Georgia, back to Ohio. And end of January, because I started February 1st back in Iowa, I moved from Ohio back to Iowa. And then April, I moved from Iowa back to Ohio.
Wow.
So I just kept leaving stuff behind. I was like, you know what? I'll buy a new couch. I'm just going to leave stuff behind. So I kind of fell into that job. I never coached, you know, women at that point. I made a lot of mistakes the first few years coaching them like guys, or, you know, trying to motivate them like guys. And I had a very successful career at ONU once we kind of got things rolling there for 19 seasons, and then kind of got recruited to leave that position to come to Toledo, and here we are.
Yeah, so we got some history in common. So I think when I've heard your name in many of the, you know, soccer circles, and I was part of the first ONU women's soccer team,
right,
coached by Joe Campoli.
Right, legend.
Yes, he's a legend, great man. He is greatly missed, and he was an awesome man that also coached men's basketball, strangely.
Oh, yeah.
But no one wanted to coach the women's soccer team at that time. And then another first that we have that I don't think you know is when I came to University of Toledo in the athletic department, I was women's promotions manager, and I helped them bring a D1 team for women's soccer. I helped start the women's soccer team at University of Toledo.
Well, thank you.
So this is special to me. This is this podcast is very special, and meeting you is very special for both reasons, and we have that in common. So, and of course, you know, you got a cool last name, Batman. You know,
it's good and bad. Yeah. It's good and bad.
My nephews
and niece, Air Force security love it.
Yeah, I was gonna say, they're like, is that really your name? And I'm like, yeah. So I like, my nephew and nieces call me Catwoman. So I guess we're kind of a nemesis to
That's
me
right.
now, but we're on the same side. But let's talk to these wonderful athletes here. Miss Amakari and Miss Dalt, you know, tell us a little bit about how you got into soccer. What age were you? Where you grew up? Tell us a little bit about your journey in women's soccer.
Okay, I'll start, I guess. I started playing soccer when I was about 4 or 5, and I always was just like the kid that was like bigger than everyone and like would just run over people. My dad,
so similar.
So I just kind of stuck with soccer ever since then. My dad was also a college athlete. He played football at Michigan State. And then both of my brothers are also football players. One of my brothers plays football at Bowling Green. And then my other brother is still in high school, but he's getting recruited for football as well. So we've always been like an athletic family and just like always into sports, always competing ever since like a young age. So I played club at Midwest United out of Grand Rapids. Same with Olivia. She did too.
You've known each other before?
Yeah, yeah, so we knew each other in club, and then we both got recruited by the old head coach at Toledo, and I kind of just decided to come to Toledo because of the culture here. I always wanted to play Division I soccer. It was always super competitive, and then obviously when the new coaches came in, it was a super nice change for all of us, and yeah, it's kind of
Kayma, you already
up
play.
To date.
You don't have to give me confidence. You already, confidence. You already play.
And what position do you play?
I play center forward.
All right.
Yeah.
Excellent. What year are you?
I'm a junior.
You're a junior.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Olivia, what about you?
Yeah. So similar to Kayma, I started playing around like 4 or 5 when those parents just kind of throw you into the youth leagues. And I'm one of 6 in my family, and all 4 of my brothers pursued soccer. My sister played a little here and there. My dad played at Aquinas College. So it just kind of ran in my family to start it up, and I ended up just, you know, falling in love with it, playing the rest of my life so far. And I played locally at my club, Lakeshore Premier, and then was kind of recruited, which is kind of weird in club, to play at Midwest United, where Kayma had played, and we were a year apart, so we were never on the same team, but some showcases together. And from there, you know, I was like, okay, maybe I can make a real thing out of this, you know, with the development academy, like, you play for 10 months, so I kind of foregoed playing any high school sports at that point, and that's when I chose to make my commitment to going and playing at the collegiate level. I had to make that decision young, at 14 years old. I was like, what? Like, my dream was just to play varsity soccer. What's going on? But I thought it was a really cool change in my head. Like, I can make this a real thing. And then the recruitment process started pretty young. I'm a senior, so I was kind of on that edge where the NCAA rules hadn't changed, so you can get recruited at 12, 13 at this point, and I was like, what is going on? But I ended up, you know, going on some visits, Toledo being one of them, and like Kema, I got recruited by the previous coach, and I was very fortunate to have this opportunity. I went to Toledo. It's about 3.5 hours from my house. Loved the campus. You know, I had a good time with the girls that took me on tour and really felt like I could make something and be an impact to the program. And that was something I really aspired for my career.
Gotcha. What position do you play in?
I play attacking midfield.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Awesome. So you definitely have a lot of endurance there and some speed and some agility. And
yeah, some of them.
Yeah, some of them. I like it. I like it. So let's talk a little bit about, because, you know, our listeners, I really want them to understand that if you've never played soccer, that it's definitely something that if you've wanted to try, you know, what would you tell young girls out there that want to maybe try out for soccer, they're athletic already, or, you know, kind of like what's the main skill? I mean, you're 90 minutes with no hands? I mean, what's it like to be out there and running out? And like I said, it's a endurance sport, obviously.
Yeah. But I definitely think it gets harder at each level that you go up. It's always just a super physical sport. Personally, like, that's one of my, like, biggest strengths, I think, is, like, my physicality. But also just, like, learning your strengths and learning, like, what you can impact the team with. So, yeah, I'd just say it's a super physical sport, and each level that you go up, it gets, like, more intense.
I would say to any girl that is thinking about playing to do it. There's no harm in trying. You know, most parents let their kids play young because it's a sport where you can just run around, get some energy out. You don't really have to have many skills. Just kick a ball and try to run to the correct goal. And I think that's where there's some fun and freedom in it, because from there it's like, all right, fun. And then you kind of realize, like Kema said, some skills you may have. Like, maybe I'm fast. Maybe I'm really strong. Or maybe I'm just really gifted at scoring goals. And you kind of can grasp onto that. And then each day and each level you can get better. Like, start to learn the tactics. Dribble with your left foot. Maybe how to kick the ball with your inside versus your laces, and you start to pertain more information and let that grow. And then if you kind of realize it's not for you, it's not for you. But I think it's a great sport that anyone can try out, because you can see how you can get better and grow from it. It's a very practiced and learned sport, like any sport. But I think if you start young, you can really see if you can be good at it. And I would say to anyone, just give it a try. Have fun with it.
Coach, what do you think about then player development? Then, you know, they've, you know, obviously mentioned, you know, what skills, but what are you looking for from a coaching perspective? Not just from young girls, but as they can achieve and grow with the game, what are you looking for?
Yeah, when key? I guess when we talk about you know, the types of players that we want representing University of Toledo, the first thing is they have to love it. You know, they have to love playing. You know, that's a big part of it. They're doing it for the right reasons. A lot of things that we talked about, like we can't spend time coaching, you know, attitude effort. They have to love competing. They have to love the difficult days. And then, you know, finding skill sets that complement each other. You know, that's kind of what they both alluded to. You know, Kema's physically strong, good goal scorer, but maybe she's not the fastest, which is okay. So we'll put some really fast kids around her so they all kind of complement each other. Olivia, great ball winner, good distributor, good range of pass, you know, at times a really good dribbler. She's laughing at me. You know, but again, we don't want, you know, 10 Kamas or 10 Olivias. You know, we want a complementary group that allows us to be versatile. I think other things that we look for, competitiveness, how competitive they are. And as times are evolving, we will watch a lot of parents during games, because that tells us a lot of who these kids are going to be when they're here. You know, sure. So we will spend some time evaluating the families too, because we want really good kids that come from great families that are, you know, 100% in on the University of Toledo, and then soccer should be icing on the cake.
Sure. Let's talk a little bit about how the game has changed, because you kind of mentioned that. So, ladies, can you shed some light on, because you've played majority of your life since, you know, being a child, how has the women's game evolved? Is it faster? Are you seeing a lot more strength? Are you seeing a lot more, is there more power and the soccer ball coming when you're heading it? Do you notice there's a lot of different, I think, more strength? Is it more agility? What's really happening in women's soccer today?
I think the sport is evolving in so many different ways. You touched on a lot of different things, but I think it also just depends on each game you're playing, each person you're playing. the sport is growing so much. They just created a new professional league, the Super League, and it just goes to show how competitive the sport is becoming and how each girl is getting better and better. And that's not just in the U.S., that's in other countries too. You can see other countries' national teams becoming so much more skillful. I think it's a variety of things. Girls are getting better on the ball, getting more comfortable and confident, and like strength-wise, power and competitiveness and physicality is huge. You're going to play against a lot of girls that are physical, hard to get off the ball, so you need to gain those strengths as well to compete well. So I think like speed is a huge thing, speed of play, speed of runs, and all of that pertain to this. And that's just what's pushing everyone is like, oh, each teams are getting better now. I have to figure out how I can get better. And I think skillful on the ball, figuring out different ways to be creative in your own ways has become huge. Girls are really coming into themselves and figuring out what they're really good at.
Great. Let's talk about maybe, Kayma, you can shed some light on being a collegiate athlete and then managing schoolwork and your classes and traveling and just juggling training and then going in for maybe if you're doing weight training, et cetera. How do you manage it all? What advice can you give?
Yeah, it's definitely a lot, but being at the Division I level or just the collegiate level in general, you get so much support from tutors, academic advisors, your teammates, and kind of just finding it within yourself to know, okay, I have to do this, so how am I going to get it done? So for Toledo personally, I feel like all of us girls, like, we'll all go to the library together. And if you have other people doing it with you, then that just makes it that much easier to get your stuff done and to want to do your stuff. And just having tutors always accessible. If you ever need help with anything, like, you'll always get that help, which is very nice. Just as a student athlete in general. And I would say to anyone who is thinking about doing it that you definitely can do it, and you just have to believe that you'll be able to do it and just lean on your teammates if you ever need help with anything.
Sure. Coach Batman, what do you wish to accomplish? The program, obviously you're coming in, it's your first season. Where do you want to take this program, D1 and Mid-American Conference? What are your goals?
Yeah, short term, you know, we set some lofty goals for the group this year. Top four finish would be fantastic. That would secure us in the MAC tournament. And then what's the second goal, guys?
Advance.
So advance in the tournament. Liv, what's the third goal?
Win it all.
Yeah, win it all. So, you know, some things are going to have to happen in order for, you know, us to have some success. I mean, soccer is a crazy sport where you can outshoot somebody by 15 like we've already done this year and you don't win the game. You know, you maybe tie it. So some things have to kind of go our way. You know, the young kids are not going to have to play like young kids because we have a lot of new faces. Long-term goal is we want to live in that gray area between the mid-major label and Power Four. So there's a lot of change that's happening. It's going to be happening very fast, but we want to be the Xaviers, the Daytons of the world that are living in that gray area of, okay, yeah, we're consistently top two, three team in the MAC, but we're not labeled that mid-major. We might not have that Power Four label, but if we advance into a tournament and we get to play Michigan or Michigan State or whoever kind of in our area, we want to be competitive in that game and not just be competitive, but go win it. Tired of being competitive, let's just go win those games. So, you know, that's the long-term goal.
Who's your biggest competition in the MAC?
Western's very good this year. I think Buffalo's going to be very good. Ohio University is going to be very good. Bowling Green, obviously, right down the road. You know, that's a rivalry. You know, I think the difficult part of the MAC is every game is tight, aside of a couple. And, you know, they're all a lot of one-goal games. Maybe in last year, you know, half the goals we gave up are the last four goals of the season, and it wasn't because we weren't good enough to compete in those games. We were just tired. You know, we had a couple girls that never subbed. You know, both these kids were over 70 minutes a game, and that's not really the goal. The goal is to never have anybody a 90-minute player unless you're a goalkeeper. You know, so... But that's just a challenging part of the MAC. And, you know, we told the group last year, if we don't win on a Thursday, it's going to be even harder for us to win on Sunday just because of the fatigue that kind of sets in late, you know. So I think everybody is our competition. You know, everybody's circled on the calendar. It's not just a one-game thing. We have to win games we're supposed to win. We have to be competitive. The games are supposed to be competitive in. And then, you know, if we can knock off one of the Giants, great.
Let's talk about training. Obviously, this has been your preseason, you're coming in quickly to the fall and fall season. Tell us a little bit about ladies, you know, how are you getting prepared? Is it just physical fitness? How do you deal with, what's the mental toughness look like? And give our listeners an idea of what day in the life of a female soccer player looks like.
I think first and foremost, it's definitely important to be physically fit. You feel it very quickly if you don't come in the fitness and the shape you should be in, and people face the repercussion of that, but you can catch up. Like, we have intense training, so you're not just falling behind forever. Like, you can put that work in and get there. I think making sure, like, over the summer you take the time to get touches on the ball and really stay sharp on those soccer skills, because obviously fitness is only part of it. Soccer is the main thing out there. But as for training and how to get your body right, we have so many resources in our training room to recover and treat your body properly. Ice baths, Compex, the Normatec boots, heat pads. You know, coaches provided us with some supplements called HE, which we take prior to the games, which has some like hydration electrolyte pieces, as well as what we call like Recoverite, which is just another supplement to help get your body right and go in the next day. So we really try to use all of these resources to get us going the next day. I feel like for me personally, like being a senior, your body kind of feels it a lot differently than the freshman coming in. And so it's really important for me to take the time to treat my body how it needs so that I can get ready to play two games in the week, as well as a couple training sessions, that we stay intense and stay sharp.
The need for speed, right?
Yeah.
Freshmen come in and they're probably quick, and it's hard to believe because you're only just a couple years older.
Yeah, I'm like, why does your body not hurt?
You're still in your 20s.
Like, I'm old. I'm 21, okay.
Yeah, the seniors all have 15 ice bags, and a freshman are walking around like it's another day. Like,
yeah,
what?
They just show up ready to go.
I'm like, the envy. I used to play 3 games a week. What are you guys so sore for?
That's awesome. So let's talk a little bit about most memorable moment for women's soccer for you. I know you've coached, obviously, Coach Batman and other places, but ladies, do you have a game that resonates in the back of your mind that you'll never forget?
Yeah, I would say one of my games, just as a collegiate level, was I was a freshman, and like I ended up scoring the game-winning goal against Dayton. And just as a freshman, that was a really cool feeling, and I just felt like I got to do it for my team, and it was like all my team was there for me in that moment. Like, it was electric. That feeling is something that will never be taken from me and the team, and that was something that just gave me a real big boost of confidence to go into the following years. And I think it just helped light a fire under the team too. You know, that was out of conference play, like Coach was saying, that's a big team to beat. You know, they're on that gray area, they're a good team, and we just show we can compete with teams all over. And that was just a really defining moment for me. And also just each game, like that year, making it into the tournament, special moments like those.
Yeah, I would say probably last fall when we beat Miami and we beat Ohio, just like two really good wins. And Ohio obviously won, so just being able to beat them during our regular season was super fun and memorable.
What about you, Coach?
I think from Toledo, probably beating Xavier our first spring and giving the girls the opportunity to actually know what it felt like to win at home. I think for some of them, that was their first home win in over a year, and Xavier was an NCAA tournament team. We defended a lot that game, but we scored one goal, and that's all it took. You know, and then ONU, there's countless memories. I think, you know, tons of overtime wins and fans rushing the field, but I think the most memorable one is in the Sweet 16, and we're playing the number 2 team in the country, and it's 0-0 going into overtime, and we score in the first 3 minutes, and done deal, Elite Eight. So watching the joy of the groups of the group that day, and it was cold in upstate New York. It was
yes,
like 10 degrees, and the field felt like it was a parking lot, but, you know, it didn't really affect the group, and you know, our sports admin that was with us, traveling with us, was the only representative for Ohio Northern in the press box, and it got quiet except for her. You know, she was celebrating and running around, and I don't think that
That's
they appreciated
great.
It, but I appreciated it. So that was a pretty, pretty fun memory.
So we've talked about what soccer has done for you, you know, obviously from the sport itself on the field. What has it done for you off the field? Tell me about that. What has it given you? What is women's soccer and being able to play 4 years given you as a person? How has it developed you, and not just leadership, but in life?
I feel like it's given me a lot of just self-belief, not only on the field, but off the field as well. Like, whatever career I end up doing in the future, I know that I'll always believe in myself and know that I'll always be able to do anything that I set my mind to. And just being a student athlete and playing soccer at the Division I level is so challenging. And I feel like getting through this, like, I could get through anything. And I love the mindset that that's given me.
Olivia?
Yeah, I agree. I think, you know, basic skills, like time management, trying to balance that all, but also like the competitive drive, like always wanting more. And that's going to translate wherever we are, because like, where do we put this now, you know, into your career? Like, I always want more. Like, I want to set goals for myself and I want to reach them. I want to achieve them. I think a huge one is teamwork, where soccer is not an individual sport. You can definitely have individual success, but it's not without the help around you. So I think that's a really big one, is like team building, team bonding, and having that in the workplace is really huge too. Being someone that other people can work with is a very valuable asset to have, as well as, I think, for myself, just getting through challenges, getting through conflict, and getting through that so that the next day you can be good again and move forward. Those are all really big things.
Right. A favorite player in the National Women's Soccer League or favorite team? Ladies first.
Mine is Alex Morgan. I know it's a little controversial. She didn't make the Olympics, but I've always loved Alex Morgan. I've always looked up to her as a player. I love how strong she's on the ball, and she's such a goal scorer, at least in her prime, but still to this day, I love her.
Yeah, one of my favorite players, she's not in the NWSL, but Lindsay Horan. I know.
Excellent choice.
That was mine.
Yeah. I just feel like I've always looked up to her and how she plays. She's really gritty, really physical, you know, ball winner and all of those things. She's in the midfielder role, so I've always looked to her to play like her. She's got a really relentless attitude, and that's just always what I look to when I watch the games. And she's sick, so I like to watch her, and I just want to take everything I can from her.
All right, Batman, you?
Yep. Liv and I don't agree on a lot, but we're going to agree on this one. Lindsay Horan, she does it all. She's a leader. She's physically fit. She's a grinder. She's disciplined. She's super creative on the ball. And I think the best kind of way to define that, last World Cup, she's playing against one of her teammates, and they had a little moment. One of her club teammates, they had a little moment, little push talk, or push back and forth, little trash talking, and then the next chance she gets 30 seconds later, Lindsay scores.
Yeah,
that was sick.
Like, that's you know, that's somebody you want on your team.
So if you've never been to a women's soccer game, what do you want to tell the fans listening? What can they expect when they come out? And where do you play at, by the way? Tell us where your field's at.
Oh, we play at Paul Hotmer Field in Toledo.
Okay.
It's on campus.
Yes. I would say just expect a really physical game, a lot of energy, a lot of you'll probably hear like a lot of loud communication on the field.
Hopefully.
Aggressive encouragement is what we call it.
Yeah.
Aggressive
encouragement.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think just a big environment. If you don't really know how soccer works, you might be a little confused on rules like fouls and offsides, but you can kind of get the hang of things of, like, you're going to see some really skilled athletes out there running, jumping, tackling, things like that, as well as, like, an environment that you can see that's loud and you can, like, feel the energy and, like, the work ethic and grind within the game. And just you can kind of, like, if you know soccer, like, you can feel the art of the game sometimes too, and you just feel a team that's connected and they have rhythm together, and it fits and it works. So I think you can see that if you know.
Can any of you do a flip throw? Do they still allow those? Are those legal?
They don't allow those anymore, I don't think.
I used to be able to. Never try that, ever.
I coached a youth group, and there was a young lady I coached, and a mommy, and she was she could do a flip throw, and I thought it was amazing. You know, I think it was U14, U16, then into U16, but I just wondered if
Yeah, we had
those.
A previous teammate, actually, that she's not playing this year, but she did it, and she could throw that ball, like, 35 yards. It was awesome. I was like, everyone just get in the box. Just go. She's coming.
Well, I love it. Well, anything else you want to leave our listeners with? Last words, Coach Batman?
I think it's an exciting time for Toledo soccer, for Toledo athletics in general. This group of young women is continuing to improve every single week, and we've got some pretty high aspirations for them and fans. You'll see an organized group. You'll see a gritty group. You'll see some really, really clever moments. Even our loss at Cincinnati, we scored twice and probably should have had a third, fourth, fifth. You know, so you're going to see a group that just isn't accepting of anything, and always want more.
I would say to any young girl that's looking to play college soccer or any other sport, like, just believe in yourself. Like, don't let anyone tell you you can't. Set the sky as the limit and just go achieve whatever you can. Work hard, be a good person, be a good teammate, and do everything you can to put yourself in that place. There's grind, there's sacrifice, but if it's something you love, it's something that's worth it, and to follow through with it and have no regrets.
I agree with Olivia, and I'm also just really excited for our season. I think that we're going to do really well and go really far. So if you've never watched soccer before, you should tune into Toledo Soccer and maybe come to some of our games. But yeah, I'm just super excited to get going with the season.
All right, well, Miss Immokery, Miss Dalt, Coach Batman, you got game. It's been great to have you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Go Rockets.
And that's a wrap of this episode of Women Got Game. I hope you enjoyed our exploration of women's collegiate Division I soccer. It's clear that this sport is more than just a game. It's a growing movement that's capturing the hearts of fans all over the world. From packed stadiums to record-breaking broadcasts, women's soccer has never been more popular, and it's an exciting time to be a part of it. A huge thank you to our guests from the University of Toledo Women's Soccer Program for sharing their experiences and insights. It's inspiring to hear firsthand what it takes to compete at this level and how these athletes and coaches are pushing the game forward. If you're as excited about the future of women's soccer as we are, make sure you subscribe, rate, and leave a review to keep the conversation going. We'll be back with more stories from the world of sports, so stay tuned, stay passionate, and keep supporting the incredible journey of women's soccer. And also a special thanks to my executive producer, Chris Piper. I'm your host and producer, Sophia Fisher. Feel free to visit us at wgte.org/womengotgame.
WGTE. Voices around us.
WGTE is supported in part by the American Rescue Plan Act funds, allocated by the City of Toledo and the Lucas County Commissioners, and administered by the Arts Commission.